Welcome back to Jay's Real World Podcast. Today's guest is Tanaya. She is a real model, a fashion model. She's a role model for people, especially young women. She's an influencer on social media, future author, speaker, striver, really sensitive, unique person. And I got to know her randomly through the platform, and she was interested in my book, Mysterious Ways, Discovering the Miracles of Life as I Fight for My Own, my memoir that I published last year. She read the book and we never got to talk. So I invited her to come onto the podcast so that she could, we could talk and answer all questions and just have an interplay about what she thought about the book and other things about her life and other things. So she really gave me, I appreciate her for giving me a listening ear. Because I was really appreciative that she took so much time to understand about my life in the book. Hope you enjoy the episode.
My name is Tanaya, also known as Daily Dose of Inspiration. Basically, I'm known on TikTok for my like quotes that I post, motivational speeches, anything that I come across that's like heartfelt or anything inspirational, but I don't hesitate to post. Even if I read books and find something cool from like a book that I read, I post about that too. I don't know what else you want me to.
But I mean, you're also do other stuff, right? I mean, you work full time and you also do all kinds of like influencing stuff, and you're like you're a role model. I mean, I don't know everything you do. Tell me everything. I don't even know everything.
So currently every 2 weeks on Sunday, I do, I'm starting to get into modeling a little bit. I'm trying to do photo shoots every 2 weeks to try to build up my portfolio, hopefully reach out to different people and, you know, go somewhere with that and model clothes and try products for different companies. Right now I am an ambassador for, Rhea Supply. So shout out to them. That's cool. Where I basically advertise their products. Like they have sunglasses, they have beanies that they're going to launch soon, and lip gloss and things like that down the line. But you know, it's a woman from Illinois, that's where I'm from, that reached out to me, and so that's where I'm at with that. I also am a tattoo model too. I know a lot of people don't know that, but
what's a tattoo model? I never knew that was such a thing.
So a person that advertises tattoos for another individual that's trying to get her business off the ground as well. So she has a business maybe about 15 minutes from where I live. I won't post all that, all that information here. But so whenever she's trying like a new technique, or she's trying, like right now she's only doing fine line tattoos. So she needed somebody to do like freckles and see how that looks as far as
real, you know, tattoos. Real ones, yes. Or temporary?
No, they're real. So that's why
I don't
why
see any tattoos. I don't see the freckles.
I have freckles. I have new freckles that I posted about a while ago. But I've always wanted to get freckles. So I was like, hey, let's do it. So I'm kind of into a lot of things. I'm in school right now, too. At DeVry, I go online trying to get my master's. So I do that. I work
full-time. What are you studying?
Business administration.
Oh, wow. You do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And then I'm also too working full time, usually 8 to 6, and which is why I'm pretty horrible at ever flying or texting back.
Yeah. People,
but
that's a lot. That's a lot. I just wanted to go back and say, like, how do we even meet? I mean, I'll just say first and you can explain, but I never thought I'd end up like on the platform. I think you might be the third or fourth person that I met on the TikTok platform that I actually were so struck with that they were on the podcast. And so like TikTok is a goldmine. I don't know. I didn't know I was even going to, I didn't even know what TikTok was. And I think I would have never really known you, but you commented on a video.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
What was that? And why did you comment? I'm like a 53-year-old guy with a 22-year-old daughter. And you're like probably in your late 20s or something.
Yeah, 26. But so I think I seen like LJ or someone else comment on your video. So what happens is when you're friends with people on TikTok and they comment on videos, it'll drop to their friends sometimes. Like, so if I go and comment on your video, but one of my friends don't follow you, your videos might pop up on their feed, if that makes sense. So it was one of those things. There was just kind of like a chain reaction, and then I think the video was talking about, being an or needing an organ or something along those lines, and they were giving you encouraging words underneath their posts, and I was like, oh my God, just the video just stuck out to me because I was like, this is like heartfelt. This is sad. This needs attention. So hopefully, if I say something, everyone else too will pick up on that, and as far as my followers, come along and help and support and whatever, give you, attention there and support.
I
So
mean, you're a very cool person. I think it was had something to do with my daughter setting up the account. I think that was one of the things that you responded about, that because you I because originally I knew what TikTok existed, but I thought it was just a bunch of teenagers or whatever, and I didn't realize how much meaningful stuff goes on. And I think I said something about, oh, my daughter set up the account a couple of years ago, but something like that. But the fact that
Towards
you're
the end.
mature enough to, you're like an old soul, I would say, or like a really mature person for your age. I'm saying, just in my estimation, my daughter is sort of like that. She's 22, but because you responded to that, I can't. I'm trying to retrace the steps as to how. Oh, because maybe about, I forgot how it led to that I corresponded with you. I forgot exactly. Was it about the book, or is it, I forgot why, how we got to talking. Oh, because I was impressed with your like being a role model, like without even realizing it. I mean, yes, you realize you're a role model for other women, but the fact that you were doing the daily inspiration kind of struck me about the your depth, for a young woman, that you were saying all these insightful things and you were striving. Like, I see you as a striver, that you want to learn and keep going and kind of improving and helping other people. And I think at one point I said, you're a role model without even realizing it. Like, I don't think you did you set out to be a role model?
No, I didn't try to. I kind of just, like I was telling you, before, I touched base on a little bit, but I just joined TikTok initially to try to get myself through a hard time that I was going through. I was depressed. I lost a child. Like, I was leaving an abusive relationship. So I actually joined TikTok to try to have some hope, have something to get me by throughout the day whenever I felt lonely, or, I was looking for something to keep me going, if that makes sense. Looking for my cue. I was looking for that spark. I was looking for something to stand out for me to grasp onto to help me, through the days, and feel more alive, more human. Because as you can imagine, when you're going through things, you could feel lonely. You could feel like, what's my point? What's my purpose of being here? You just feel sometimes inhumane. You feel like you're just existing, right? So I got on there and came across the woman named Annie, and I told you about her too before, and she's on to like motivational things, and she's more so, she doesn't believe in God. She's more of just a spiritual person. Like, she believes in like the universe and things like that, which is kind of different than me. But just her words every day and just putting everything into different perspectives, like, she really just changed my life. And then after that, I was like, how she made me feel is how I want other people to feel. 'Cause I'm sure, like, there's other people that feel like me. I'm sure, like, I just felt like I just had to get her perspective out there, and I just had to help other people along the way too. But if you would have asked me during the time, if I see myself like influencing people, if I see myself blowing up, if I see, like, I would have been like, no, like, I'm just here. I'm just gonna be a user here. I'm just going to be, like, that wasn't the goal still, even then at that time. It was just to have my TikTok pretty much as something to reflect on for myself too. As I was telling you, like, just something to have there for reference, like on my good days, or my bad days. So again, like, it still doesn't feel like I don't feel like people look up to me. I feel like people just see my TikTok videos and they're like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, this is, something to remember or whatever. Like, I don't think people are like, oh, I want to live like her. But yeah, and I tell people all the time, I'm like, don't try to be like me because I'm not perfect. I don't try to be perfect. I just try to look at things in a different way to help me throughout life, just be the best person I could be. But don't try to like me, please don't,
Yeah, but you
so.
have a certain quality, like you're like a leader, kind of charismatic, kind of person that you have a strength about you. You have like a confidence, and I think people are drawn to that. And I think that you're also very perceptive because I've gotten to know you like over these past like I don't know like a couple of months or I don't know, maybe it's been a short period. I feel like I've known you longer, but you kind of exude something like you're a tough but sweet. And like, but yet, you're like, you got a little bit of everything and the mixture like works, like, I mean, you're just you, but I think people are drawn. How did you get to like almost 100,000 followers? I mean, obviously people were drawn to you, right? And I see it. As a matter of fact, I asked you, like, where do you see yourself? Like, what is the dream for your life? And what did you say?
I could see myself traveling the world, writing my own book. Like, I want to do for every single year of my life, I want to do a chapter for each year. And then by the age of 30, hopefully have my book and what I want to write published, established, and have 30 chapters in it. And also too, I just see myself working for myself, like being a person, a jack of all trades. Like, I want to do real estate. I want to also travel and have my own online business and also have my book. So, as weird as it may seem, like I know most people just have one dream for themselves where it's like, oh, I want to live the American dream,
Or what's
or
your vision? I should have said maybe.
my vision is ultimately being able to be my own boss on my own time and travel on one. But yeah, that all the other stuff is just the background of that. But I want to be free and be able to live. I don't want to, work for someone 9 to 5, not that there's anything wrong with it. If that's what you want to do, by any means, go for it. But I just like to move a lot and travel and explore. So
Yeah. And what did I say to you when you told me that, when you wrote that to me?
you told me like you seen that in me before you
Yep.
even, like, that was what you envisioned for
Yeah.
me, which, like, it took me by surprise because no one has ever said that for me. Like, other people have said to me, I see you being a role model, 5, 7, 5, 6, 7 years ago, but not, an entrepreneur or anything. So
Yeah.
really surprising.
I mean, I worked with for 20 something years with speakers and like seeing, like it's, I mean, maybe because I've always like looked at people and seen talents or gifts in other people. And then I was in that line of work, like, looking and seeing like where do they fit, and maybe it was just a natural thing, but I saw that you instantly, like speaker, author, influencer, I guess that goes with it. And this, and you have that. But you're like deep. You're not like a superficial person and you have a lot to share. So that's how I saw it. And then you were just saying it the way I would have seen it. But
That's crazy.
I can't remember again. It's not like we have to recreate every moment, but you found out that I r had written a book, and maybe you saw a video about it, or maybe we just had a conversation. I'm blanking about the exact, doesn't matter exact the sequence of events, but I guess but since I wrote my memoir and I published it last year, I guess it was easier for me maybe. Oh, for people to understand me if I trusted them. I mean, even the book is out there. It's public, and I did the audiobook and I narrated it, and I so it's like it's out there, but maybe people wouldn't know about it. It's like not as a there's so many books, but then I guess I wanted you to know me more deeply, like who I was, like what I was about. And then you no then we did a live right now
Yes.
before you read the book, right?
Yes, that was
And
before.
then, yeah, and then you posted a video, best advice I've gotten. And oh, because you were asking me what about
From
the
the live.
lessons. Go ahead.
Yes.
What were you asking?
So, oh, as far as like the video and
Yeah,
what
in
I
the
did.
live, and
So
then.
during the live, I was asking you, like, being at your age and having the experience that you have,
Yeah.
like, what would be something, advice that you want to leave behind for other people or that you would like for people to follow.
Yeah.
Because they always, people always say like the older the wiser, or you know, like always listen to older people, like they know what's best, or things like that. So I was like, it's always interesting to ask, you know, older people what advice they would give so that I don't make those same mistakes, or you know, anyone else that knows me don't make the same mistakes, because of course I'm going to tell them. So
Yeah. And I think I had shared that I was had been on dialysis and had it and getting through like end stage renal failure, being dependent upon being on a machine. And then my daughter wanted to see her graduate high school, wanted to possibly get to see her graduate college. And then you were asking me, I guess, you know, like how did I get through that? Or what were some of the things that I would suggest to other people? And I think one of them was like I was saying, being open to the possibilities in life and open to other people. I think that was one of them. And you gave me like an outline for a whole book. You were taking notes. I'm like, she's like, I was wondering what you were doing. You were looking down or something, writing, and you're like, oh, I'm taking notes. And I thought that was pretty cool. Was I saying something so important? And then I didn't know you were going to make the video, and you made a video and said something about best advice or something. That felt so
That.
important when you said that. But you said a best advice, and and then you found out about the book, and then you bought the book or ordered the book.
Yes,
And right,
bought.
you ordered it, and then I was like really amazed by that. But I just want to say, you know, that I find you to be amazing because you cared, and you didn't just care about, oh, I'll get a book. I don't think many people are going to make a lot of money on books, selling books or anything. And it wasn't about like selling, but I really thought since like you would appreciate it, right? And you took the time to really read it and really appreciate. And you said, like, you know, you read a certain amount, right? You have a thing, you read like, you know, other books and learning and stuff that you know, you're deep and you really try striving to learn and share, right? And so I was like, that was the best thing because I knew you would take your time and just and really take it and really appreciate and read it. The way that I perceived it, that you were doing that. And I know you, because you were giving me some comments about, oh, I'm on this thing, or you had a question, or you noted something. And I found that to be amazing that you were sharing that as you were going along, even, or maybe I was asking you questions like, did you read that? You know?
No, you weren't asking me. I wanted to make sure that while I was reading, I was clarifying things before I moved
Yeah.
forward, and
Yeah.
also keeping you updated and letting you know, like
I
I
love
am reading
that.
20 pages a day. Like I might have fell behind yesterday, but okay, today I'm gonna make up for the 20 pages. And
Yes.
like, and that's just my rule of thumb for all books and everything that I read. Like I try to read, you know, 20 pages. If it's shorter than that, I obviously read the whole thing. But yeah, I was keeping you updated. Like you weren't like nagging or bothering me or anything. I was
I'm
just
good.
kind of making sure that I was getting done what I, you know, reading like I should have been. So
Well, I felt like it was a shared experience, and I had that with a few people. The woman who the last chapter before the epilogue, who I was encouraging on her to trying to find a kidney donor and to get her transplant. And when she, I didn't know, like, I want to ask you a few questions, but as an example, I really didn't know what people would think of my life that knew me and that things I'd been through. And this woman who ended up getting a transplant and gave me all these like feelings of sort of like that I had something to do with how she appreciated it and how I walked the journey with her. And I didn't really think that I did that much, but with most of these people, they blow me away that they're calling me from the transplant centers or when they get transplanted, or they're letting me be part. It's like an honor to be part of their journey. And she, when she read the book, I was nervous about this woman, Tamara, that what would she think? She doesn't know about my life. What is she going to think of me? What is she going to think? I mean, she's not going to be expecting it. Maybe no one's going to expect things they're going to read. But she shared, like the way you were sort of sharing, she was sending me photos of her finger pointing to this and tears crying, you know, emoji and like, and then smiley faces. And she was like as she was going through the book, and then she sent me pictures in the garden she was reading at the beach. She took the book in the summer and she called it her summer companion, the book. But
Oh, wow.
she embraced the book and became like a champion of the book. And I felt sort of similar in that way that you were doing that. It was so warm and caring the way you treated it. But what was your, like, you started reading the book, and we never got to talk about that. We never, like, got to do a live or anything. but I wanted to hear, like, what were you thinking when you started reading about my life?
So when I first opened your book and like read the intro and everything, I approached it from like an open mind because I was like, at the end of the day, like every single person that I know has a different experience. So I didn't expect for you to have this glorious, you know, like perfect anything. I expected just honesty and the truth, and I expected from, you know, because I spoke to you on live before reading it, I expected it to be very heartfelt. And so I did approach it from an open mind. And I think you like reading the book, like I think I like towards the end, I expected something worse than, you know, how it actually occurred. But again, I try to be as open-minded as possible because I was like, this is someone's life we're talking about, you know, like older than me, more experienced, like, you know. So, and I expected to, like, I guess I wouldn't even say expected, but I thought for sure like we would have some similar experiences, as I have too been through a lot of things. So nothing caught me by too much of a surprise. I think I was more shocked that like you came across so many known people more than anything, you know. Like I've heard stories about people and their mom, you know, being in rehab or being sick or being, you know, evil and ornery towards them. But coming across as many, you know, famous known people as you did, I would have never expected that. Like sometime during the story, your book too, I kind of was like, wait a minute, I had to like backtrack, and I was like, did he just say the one and only? Like I was totally taken by surprise by that. But again, I kept an open mind, and at the end of the book, like I expected everything that you said to be true, and that's what I still take it as. So
yeah,
so whether it's something that's in your head or something that, you know, totally different than how someone else might take it, I took it for exactly, you know, the truth and what you
yeah,
say.
It's all true. But I mean, like, just the fact that, you know, to me, I would say some of these things were like miracles, like the subtitle, Discovering Miracles, because I never expected to meet some of the people. I don't know if you can see the picture, like in the back there. And it's like, that's the guy that you asked your father about, Dwight Gooden, the baseball player. That was a picture. Can you see like right there?
Wow, yeah.
I mean, we took that picture years ago, but I'm saying, like, it was just, we were at an event that I was doing with him. But I mean, wasn't just like meeting people like just randomly, like, oh, I went to a concert or something, but they became, some of these people became meaningful people in my life. And those were the only people that I was looking at as a kid growing up, that I, there's three or four or five people, but they all randomly became part of my life, and some other people that I ran, you know. It was just strange, but I guess maybe some of the traumas and tragedies and things that happened in my life, I never shared those before, you know, in the book to anyone maybe. And I guess that was hard for me, you know, I wanted to include like the whole myriad of experiences in my life, but I guess, you know, it just was very cool that you cared about it, you know, and that you took it seriously, and you even wrote a review. What did you think? What did you say? I forgot what you said.
On other like my other social media platforms too, I was like, this is the book of the day, like, and then I'll post, like, I didn't really post inserts from there, but I was posting like the cover, and then when I went on vacation in Kentucky, I posted like the cover, like, yeah, this is a good read, was posting things like that.
Thank you. I didn't know that.
I try to be as honest as possible in the reviews, but I basically noted how it was a good, like, heartfelt book. And also too, if you're someone that has a weak stomach, because you talked about blood and needles and stuff like that a lot, I was like, if you're someone that has a weak stomach, just be prepared and ready for that. And then maybe if you can't handle it, then okay, so be it. But I'm, you know, forewarning you, not to say that that's a bad thing. That's reality. That's what happens. We go to the hospital a lot. We have to go to the doctor's office, get checkups, draw blood. All of us have to do it at some point in time. But as far as reading blood, 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 you know, a lot and over again, like, it's something that maybe, you know.
Oh, because I mentioned about the dialysis, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And things like that.
I thought when you wrote that, you meant because, like, it was kind of hard to hear some of the things that happened in my life or whatever. But no,
No,
but
just as far as like the blood and autonomy and everything, one which again is not bad, it's just a part of life, but some people aren't used to reading about
yeah.
those type of books. So I posted that, and I loved, I think I said too, like I loved how like transparent you were and like included so many details. Also too, I don't know if I left it in the review, but I like how you like it seems like you jumbled the chapters up, right?
Yeah, I
Like
love
usually
that you
most
said that.
books,
You said scrambled up the chapters, you said.
yeah, like usually in most books when you read it, everything goes in like chronological order, like okay, May 1st, June, July, August, September type thing. But you, it seemed like you were like, okay, like I got on the train this day, and then this is what happened this day, da, da, da. And then you're like, okay, re forwarding to this experience, rewinding to this experience, and then like so it kind of rearranged things for me. It kind of made it kind of like more exciting, because sometimes when I read books, I'm like, okay, like I think I know what's going to happen now. You kind of hinted away at it, kind of like sometimes that
Yeah.
spoils it. So that's another thing too that I liked about your book is, and then I think you said something about the reviewer, someone that you let read your book or help you publish your book, told you to jumble up the chapters, right?
The editor said just said I was very hesitant to go forward, and I
Oh.
said to like November 1st, 2021, I was very depressed. I thought, I don't think I can share all this. I don't think I really wanted to find someone like it. Do a copy edit and do that, and have an editor like as you know to have a re polished thing. And he, I didn't send it to him right away. I knew he was the right editor, but when he was suggesting how to do the book, it didn't seem right for me.
Right.
He was, you know, he was a great editor. He published many, edited many books, and he was very sensitive and caring. And then he spent time with me, but I just felt that that wasn't for me. I wanted, it just didn't feel, and then I was hesitating. So it took me 4 months after I met the editor to actually, he said, just send me the chapters in order that you feel. And
Oh.
then he wrote in the, he wrote it, I didn't ask for the editor note. He wrote that and surprised me. He just wanted to write that. That's not a usual thing that the editor would write an editor's note, but it was kind of because we had this connection with this famous author that he loved and that I liked. Who wrote the best-selling memoir of all time, Mitch Albom. He wrote a book called Tuesdays with Maury, and you love that book. You have to get that book.
Yeah,
Yeah,
send me
no,
the send me
yeah, I will.
I didn't
I'll text it. It's
write
the
kind of paper, but
best-selling memoir. You will love that because it's all about life's lessons
oh.
from his professor. It was the best-selling book of all time, best-selling memoir. But he became someone that I really liked, and the
Wow.
story that was strange about that, which I shared with the editor that night, was that I remember that. Do I mention Dr. H, the psychiatrist that I met when I was 19 years old in the hospital?
Yes.
Like, none of that seemed to faze you. And that was okay, that's good. But he became part of my life, and then I didn't see him for many years. And when my kidneys were damaged by a mental health medication, I looked for him again after 13 years. He's a top doctor in New York City, and he's pretty much it's like sought after. And he knew me, you know, we hadn't really talked in years, and I wanted to go back to him. What should I do? What can I do? And he said, my practice is closed, but it's always open for you, Jay. It's always open for you. And he took me back, and we've never lost touch. He was there in the at my bedside the night after my transplant. And this guy's a very busy guy, but he's a great guy. But when I he had told me, I didn't tell you this, right? I didn't tell you this part, did I?
I don't
But
think
I mean,
so.
my book is Mysterious Ways, all these mysterious things and all these famous connections that I don't know. Here's another guy that I would have never known. He's very close with Oprah, Mitch Albom. She produced all of his movies into for TV, made for TV movies of Tuesdays with Maury and other movies, other books that were made into movies, like more like made for television movies. And Oprah produced them all and did that. And he's famous, Mitch Albom. But the thing was that right before I went on dialysis, right before I went on dialysis, I really want to finish this the story. But right before I went on dialysis, the doctor said, I need you to all the stories that you've told me over the years and that you're telling me about your life, because he hadn't seen me in many years. And I got married, had a child, and it was a very long relationship, but he was filling him in on a life that maybe a lot of it he didn't know about. And he said, I just need you to write these stories down. And it wasn't like as a therapeutic thing. It was more like that he, I didn't understand why he needed these stories written to send him the stories. But why do you need that? You know, I like to write. I'm a good, I like to always like to write. And it was always a dream that maybe one day I'd write a book. But he was saying, do that. You know, and you do that. Now, I was leading up to before I was on dialysis and I wasn't as sick. And then I was getting sick, you know, sicker. Can we take a brief break and then come back? Because I want to finish the story and I want to hear more for you. Can we take a brief pause?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Okay. Hey, I'll just go back because I'm no, I wanted to tell you the end. I was saying about all the famous that you were mentioning that, and it wasn't because I was, I mean, later I work with comedians, you may not know that, but yeah, I mean, so randomly the high school guy becomes an NBA coach and Trey Lorenz, and you were saying something about you like the story about Trey Lorenz, the backup singer from Mariah?
Yeah, like I would never forget Trey because of like how you met him and like how stubborn he was, or like he didn't want a roommate. He was like so, he was kind of like mean to you at first. Like, I'm sure he's not a mean person, but that's always like a but like somebody's bombarding on your privacy, or you know, like you just feel like, you know, and so like it was just funny because he was like singing and stuff. Like that's stuff that people do at like their home. Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, like that's hilarious. Yeah. And then also too, Trey, like I think of like Trey's songs, he's a singer and stuff too. So like I was like, oh my god, this is so funny. But yeah, the story of Trey and the story of the guy that you were at the hotel with that like randomly went missing. Like, I'm bad with names, but I promise I
remember. Oh, Bill the Blessed Gambler.
I'm so bad with names. But Bill. Yeah, like him, I would never forget him, or the train guy, because the train guy, like everyone just knew him. He was just so cool. But
the homeless man in the subway.
Yeah,
he became a very important person in my life. For you know, I want to come back. You know, he does not know that I'm alive. You know, he doesn't know. I saw him on. I remember did the reconnection tour.
Yeah,
and I was meeting all the people. He was on the tour, and I in 2018, I was still on dialysis, and I went, it was random. I mean, what was your thought about that story, about him?
So I felt like he was definitely an important person in everyone's life. Anybody that took the subway, like, or the train, like, and the fact that people looked out for him as well, like, oh no, that's his spot, like he'll be back, he did this, and like people covered for him too and made sure that his privacy was kept, like unless you confirmed who you were. Yeah. Like they were like, oh no, I don't know what you're talking about. Like I just feel like that's love, and it goes to show you, like, depending on who you're dealing with, you can be in any position in life, but depend on who you're dealing with is how someone would treat you. Mm-hmm. You know, so you could be someone to one person, but you could be absolutely no one to another person, right? So that just goes to show, like, people really do have hearts still. Like, people will look out for you as long as you're good by them. And to some people, all that matters is your loyalty to them, you know? Yeah. And you know, you actually taking your time to stop and have a conversation and getting to know them. So, like, the Hulk's man... Yeah.
I spent a lot of days, you know, and over the years, I mean, we may have lost touch a few times in between, but aww. I spent many, many hours and many days with him in the subway and and traveling all over the city. He was my mentor in a lot of ways. I mean, I was very inexperienced. I was then like 24 years old, but I didn't have a life where I ever really had a girlfriend or, I mean, very limited contact. And he was always... It was like
your buddy.
What's that?
Yeah. Like your, would you say like your buddy or like a
buddy? A buddy. And he was also sort of like a, I mean, he was only like, what, 8 or 9 years older than me, but he was sort of like a guide, you know, like a mentor. And, you know, I looked up to him, and he had been homeless for at that time for, you know, already 7 or 8 years. And he was, like a famous, he's a famous homeless person. I mean, he got, you know, he people, you know, he would give stock tips to guys with suits on. I mean, he would when I talked about all the people I met through him, all the famous people from Lionel Richie and Cameron Diaz and A-Rod and all, you know.
That's crazy.
Like Chris he had, Rock and
like movie theater people at movie theaters and things. I was like, oh my gosh, like this man is getting his way around. Like he's living the life. You
he
know?
Got me into the museum when I couldn't get tickets. I mean, yeah. he because people knew him. But that was past, present, future. I called that, and I really thought that would be a book on its own. And a lot of people say that some of the chapters feel like they could be a book. You know, and did you feel that?
After your book ended, I kind of was wondering what happened next. Like, I was like, this is not just the end all be all. Like, obviously some of these people are still alive soon. Yeah. So what's next? Like what, like we have to know. So like, I need something here.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on, you know, the next book, but that's encouraging to me because, you know, it's like, that's what I really want to do. More people on TikTok bought that, new, you know, got the book, and another guy reviewed the book, a really cool guy in the kidney community. And then other people are reading the book. I mean, it was sort of like very emotional for me to release the, I think you're interviewing me now. I think I took over here. It was very hard for me. It took me a year maybe just to process like that, this, you know, everything. And I got so many letters and messages and people that said, I never knew about your life. They would have never known that I went through these things. And that's really what I want to do, is to write more. And I feel like I'm gifted in that way. I think I see the details in things, and it hurts me in a way because I pick up like a magnet. I just see, you know, like the paper clips and everything. I just see every little detail in my mind, and I have that kind of memory about things. The way that I experience things is very intense, and I'm into like every little thing. Yeah. And it's hard sometimes to live like that, but I mean, it's just sort of, but what I was saying about before we took the break was about the doctor, and he was encouraging me to send him to write down the stories I was telling him. And that would have been like 2000, I don't know, 12, 13, before I moved to Pennsylvania. It was in a few years before I was on dialysis, before I went on dialysis. And I said, well, why do you need that? Like, he was insistent that I send it. And he kept saying, when are you going to send me the stories right now? So I wrote the story that was a rough draft of the doc I needed about which is a lot of heavy stuff in there in the beginning about what happened to my grandparents and the tragedy that happened in New Orleans. That was the deaths and all that tragedy stuff. Traumatic stuff, and then about how I was looking to him, you know, on TV, like it just needed him. He was only like 19 when he started. He was a superstar pitcher, you know, in the baseball. And I was 14. He was only 5 years older, but I was looking at him. Many people were looking at him, but I just needed him. I needed to know he was there. And then he becomes part of my life, like still like very close with him, and emotionally, like it's strange how things go, you know? But anyway, that he was asking me, so I gave him that story, and it was not even like edited or whatever. He says, if they're all as good as that, this is going to be a great book. And I go, well, why do you need this? You know, I do want to write, but why was he insisting, when can I get him this thing? And he said, just do it. And then I said, who wants to know? And, you know, and he says, well, that his best friend is the manager and producer of a famous author. And he wanted to pass it along to the person just to get maybe some feedback, or I don't know what he was going to do, but that's what he was saying. And I said, who's the author? Who's the famous author? He goes, that's on a need to know basis. So I really had no idea. I went on to dialysis, and I was trying to write, but I was not feeling well. And I was working full time. I worked at home, booking all the speakers, and I was keeping myself so busy doing the business stuff that I actually was trying to keep my mind off, but I was very productive, and I was spinning hard, you know, like doing, I thought, well, I'm going to go as hard as I can to see. I wasn't like, a lot of stuff was in schools. I wasn't like, you know, booking $1 million speakers, but it was like, I was doing a lot. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, I continued from time to time to go into New York to see the doctor, but maybe every 6 months or whatever. And he would be asking me, you know, well, when are you going to give me the, you know, more stuff? And I really wasn't really doing, I was trying and thinking, and I'd written the Bill story and the other thing, but it was a lot going on. And I was doing the reconnection tour and the gratitude thing, looking for it. Then I was qualified. I was going around to hospitals trying to qualify. I had to lose, I don't know if I told you that, but I had to lose like 110 pounds just to be a big guy like I am now to get to qualify. I mean, and I never wanted to be that heavy, but I had gained a lot of weight. I gained like 100 pounds and I had lost them. But anyway, he finally said to me, I said, well, he said that the in the process that the author was my favorite author, Mitch Albom, the guy that the editor liked also. That's the author that his friend is been lifelong taking care of all his book tours, his charities. He does all his TV shows. And what's the likelihood, Taneya, that I say I get it right?
Yeah.
Taneya, that of all the people in the world, I know one guy in New York, one doctor, and his best friend is the everything for my favorite author. I don't know why that happens to me every time. I mean, it's like so weird. It can't be an accident. I don't know why. Do you remember the Maria story? How she, the supernatural connection?
I couldn't help but to think like, yeah, this is kind of like who should be your mom, you know, like as she went out in the hallway and like it was asking you questions and took her time and made sure that she checked on you. And, you know, I was like, wow, like
she is my second mom now. But I never knew that for 27 years at the time of 2016, I never knew she was looking for me. I wasn't honestly thinking of her because it was a long time. And when she called me and her daughter reached out to me in 2016 in the story, that was, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand. She just wanted to know about my life. And I told her the story and that related that, like what I shared with her in the, you know, what was I doing there? And how did I get there? My mother and all that. But she, I didn't see her again after 2016. She said, I told her my kidneys were failing. You read it in the story.
Yeah.
And that was it. We'll pray for you. And then it was 2 years later that I saw her on the reconnection tour. Did that come through to you? It's a lot in the book, but did that come through that I then reconnected with her in her apartment? And 2 years later, on my reconnection tour, I finally felt it was time that I go and see her. And I still didn't understand what exactly, why she was looking for me. I didn't get it. I mean, and that wasn't until 2 years later in 2018 in the story that I went to her house and her apartment. She lived in the Bronx, and that she told me what had happened in the hospital. Did that come through by the supernatural connection?
I don't remember reading about Maria. I just remember in the book. I don't know if it was in the book or not, or if you told me. Now it's hard to differentiate.
No, it's in the book, but it was that I was sitting in the hallway, and then, like you said, she approached me, and we prayed together. She spoke only Spanish.
Yes, yes. I read that, where you felt like there was something that came over you guys. Yeah.
Yes, she held my hand and prayed, and I felt like this feeling of hope and inspiration, and that there was, like, something beyond me that was happening. And it was beyond her hand. It was like something supernatural that I realized. Yeah. That's why I called the story. I didn't know at the time really what was happening, but I reached for her hand the second time and the feeling was gone. And she was almost like apologetic. It said it wasn't her. I didn't understand that. She always knew it. She always knew that it was God had used her as a conduit to get to me. And, and I never really understood. I knew it was a special feeling, but it wasn't until 29 years later that she told me the story, and I finally understood what had happened. And that gave me a feeling of like of reassurance and comfort that God had been sort of looking out for me, you know, that he was always there with me or looking over, and maybe for everyone. I mean, I get, but I didn't really get it. And then that was when she shared, the daughter called when I was visiting, that her kidneys were failing. I was already on dialysis. I didn't know. She never told me to worry me that she was sick. She did not want to do dialysis. She did not want to do it. She said she'd just pray. But the daughter was asking me to convince her that she wanted more years to go on to dialysis. And she did, like through the ICU. She waited too long, but she did go on. And she lives in Florida now, and she's still on dialysis. She unfortunately is not qualified to get a transplant. But she has made like a lot of recently miraculous improvement. And so she's actually feeling a little bit better, where she was touch and go. And so that was like sort of the faith that that story, I wasn't using. I mean, these all really happened, but I thought people would get that I was through this also faith journey. Right. Mm-hmm. And that how this woman called up to 27 years, she doesn't know anything about me. And I was just getting ready to go onto dialysis and she called me. And it was like she'd always been there with me. It was like she's right. My mother. Like she is my second, I call her my second mom, but the mom I always wanted, you know, always needed, you know.
Yeah.
In a way, right?
So when do you plan on finishing your second book by?
Well, I'm really like, that's the thing. I'm really just what I wanted to do for the next book was talk about how I connected with all the people that I encouraged on their kidney journeys. And with lessons learned to help other people that are going through it. But they're all these very mysterious stories of the people that how I connected and what mysterious things happened in like this, I don't, you wouldn't know, you didn't tell you this, but my father, I didn't really have a great relationship and I went looking for him and he never met my daughter or my wife. But when my daughter was 9 years old, because Manu Bol had passed away, the famous basketball player, the tallest man in basketball at the time in the years ago, from Africa. Mm-hmm. And he had passed away at age 47. There were so many things I didn't say there were so many things that were mysterious, but Manu Bol, the basketball player, 7'7", tallest man, you know, ever basketball. I got to know him and his family I had no connection to anything. And I meet the cousin in the story. It's all true. And then he introduces me to, I had very dismal life. I was very alone and living in this room behind the store. And my father left me there. I mean, crazy stuff, right? And I randomly meet the cousin in this old basketball thing. And then I meet him. But he eventually, I meet his son 20-something years later. Manu Bol's mm-hmm. son, who he left as a child to marry another woman and have 6 more kids, never came back for them. And he was very estranged. He was estranged. He was not, he had no contact. He was so bitter and angry. And so he's 20 years old telling me about his scholarship offers. And I became a little bit of a mentor. It's so strange, how these things happen. And, you know, someone said, I was interviewed on a show and the woman said, oh, well, you just noticed things more than, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see it that way. Like, did I just notice it? I don't know. Is that, I don't know how how you would think of it, but I wasn't just like I was looking and someone else is not looking. I felt like
you didn't go.
Right.
No, I don't believe in coincidences either. Like we are all connected somehow, some way, but I believe that God has this way of guiding us throughout life and providing us with what we need, even though we may not want it. Right.
Yeah.
Just like Maria coming into your life, you didn't go walking around the hospital looking for a potential mother, you know, like she came to you, she's seen a child, her heart, you put on her heartstrings and then boom, you know. So I don't think anyone actually goes around looking for famous people or known people or that they're just
random.
Realistic. I think that was God's way of providing you what or who you needed at that time.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. That's how I feel about it. I mean, that's where I kind of put it all together from that connection with Maria and how she described it, that I felt like I even said that. Maybe you're saying it better than I could have said it, but I mean, the way you said it, you know, there was some that he was there all along. God was there. Mm-hmm. But I had some pretty desperate moments. But, you know, that sort of fell in line with, you know, mm-hmm. the whole journey and how it ends in the book, or how I The Miracle of the How I Got the Kidney Donor, but the author was an example. I did not write it in the book, but that guy, the editor, he talks about how we instantly connect. He was from the man's lived most of his life in Detroit. He's the author, many years living there, and he's became an amazing guy. The one with the best selling memoir, Tuesdays with Maury. And he does so much. He has he built an orphanage in Haiti, and he goes there twice a month. I mean, he's just became like, he was really like a hotshot sports writer, and he became this really developed guy through this experience he had, I think, partly with the professor. But you have to read the book. I mean, I know you have other books, but Tuesdays with Maury, I'll text it. I really want you to see if you can get the book.
I'm reading Girl Code right now, but as soon as I'm done with that book, I just started yesterday.
You'll love the book.
Yeah.
What's the book that you're reading now?
It's called Girl Code for entrepreneurs women entrepreneurs or women that are trying to be like more wholesome, even if they're not trying to be entrepreneurs. And it's really good. But yeah, so as soon as I read that, I'll go ahead and move on.
And so I did not send him anything. I was scared. I thought, what am I sending him anything for? I mean, he's, you know, and so I was hesitant, and he kept asking me. And then I thought, well, how I'm writing now during the pandemic, I have so much. I want to finish writing The Past, Present, Future, and I want to write all the stuff, and I want to send him a whole different things. And it was not for me about publishing. It was not about being published, because that would have been really a long shot. And I said, why are we doing this? And he said, well, maybe they can help you develop in the beginning, develop into a book. And I didn't see that, like a busy guy like that. I didn't really feel like that was going to happen. Really, all I wanted, Taneya, Taneya. I was always saying it wrong, you know, and pronouncing. But Taneya, I was all T, Taneya. I was always thinking that I just wanted to have a little bit of a connection to talk to him, maybe, or to have some interplay with him. And when that was so shocking to me, was that when I sent to the editor the stories, he said in the editor's note that I did not ask for, and none of that, I didn't ask for anything. He said that it had been 34 years since he remembered the style of the columns and the things that Mitch Albom wrote. And it was just so much like that. And it just keeps happening to me like that in my life. And I can't explain it exactly, but it just seemed to me that it was, I don't know how to explain that. You know, I don't know how to put it. You put it into words, but just, it seems like I'm making a big thing, but just that. So that became a point where I finally decided to not send the manuscript, but just to take a bunch of stories and put it in a PDF. And the friend who's the manager said, yes, of course, Mitch will read some of Jay's stories. And then I waited. I want to get it better. You don't want to do it. And then it was he went on book tour. He had a new book last year, came out. He's a prolific. Now he went from being a famous sports writer to being that book became the best selling. And then he went into writing inspirational books. And now he's top, you know, whatever. He's well-known, famous. And so I waited too long, and he left to go on the book tour after I waited. And so the stories did, you know, get to some of the other people, but it wasn't satisfying because I really wanted to have a connection with him. And that was one that I was really wanting to, I couldn't believe that there was, how is that possible? One guy in New York, one doctor. I mean, this just seems so unlikely to me. And I've been through a lot of these things. So I don't know. So that was surprising. And then people in the comments, in the reviews say, it reminds them about Mitch Albom. Many people read and say, it's very strange. Maybe just the way that I was right. It's just, I'm sorry. It's just really, but I think you're amazing. And, you know, and I'm so glad that, you know, that we finally got to talk like this. When you go on live on a TikTok, it's like, who's listening? What's going on there? Like when I couldn't see who's on, but I mean, like people are like, who's that guy you're talking to? Like, it'd be unlikely that you'd be talking to me, right? Like, who's this guy? This old guy, you know, this guy, whatever. I mean, they're like, what's going on there? I mean, but getting to talk to you and then, like, you know, this like kind of like one-on-one like this, and then we can share, right? We can share this with the world. And, you know, where can people find you?
On TikTok, Instagram, I just made a Twitter too, Daily Dose of INS, because I couldn't fit the whole username. So take it. And then also too, I do have a Snapchat, but it's more of a, like a personal Snapchat.
We're
So
going to put all the links that you want to be listed in the show notes so people can look in the show notes and see all your, if that, whatever you will approve of, then we'll, whatever you want, I'm going to put them all in the show notes so people can see, because I mean, you really are very deep and interest and reflective, introspective, and you share a lot and people are drawn to you. And so I think this is your future of things that you're going to do. And I think you will fulfill all the things that you want and talk about. I mean, you just have it. Some people, maybe I just survived I'm doing whatever, but I think you have a definite, confident purpose in your life and how you're going to do it. And I just I know that. I mean, it's not a doubt in my mind. But I thank you for taking, but like I went on this whole sidetrack about the book because I really, maybe it was selfish, but I really wanted to talk to you about it and to, and you encouraged me more to write. People are waiting for the next book. And I'm really been, I had surgery in May about taking, ending the access, that I didn't need the access anymore. Oh, I don't know if you know this. Did you know that I went to the transplant center in New York City for my annual checkup? I don't
Yeah,
think you did know that.
told me.
Oh.
Yeah, like maybe 2 weeks ago around
Last
the time I
Friday, like a
was.
week, little over a week, last Friday, and I
That's
got all the results, and it was like the best results I've had. They check for so many things, and they check, they do a deeper level blood test now. They do, and well, I've been doing that just to check, and there's no reject signs of rejection. And then they
wow.
do like they compare the antibodies of my donor, I had a living donor, and his samples and his profile are there because he donated at that hospital. There's no one, I don't know the hospital would have that.
Yeah.
And they compared my his antibodies to see if I have any of his. You really don't want any of his.
Yeah.
His kidney and his. I have two DNAs in my body. It's his DNA and my DNA. It's weird, right? So
Yeah.
anyone who has a transplant has two different DNAs. It's strange, but that there's a DNA test, and then they have this donor specific antibodies test, and they're looking to see if anything is reacting. And I guess the lower the number, and my number was zero, so I have no rejection or
Oh,
anything.
wow. That's a
And I had
blessing.
great numbers and everything. I've been struggling a lot these last recently with like being kind of like I don't know, emotional, and like I'm transitioning to a new kidney doctor within the practice. I just didn't click with the other guy. Very smart guy. He's the head of the practice, of this large practice. But this other man who'd spent, there's only two specialists in the transplant special. They do, they're all kidney doctors, but that specialize in the medications for the post-transplant, after transplant. And this guy happened to be on the on-call, and I clicked with him, and he was like, we were just hit it
Oh,
off. And
yeah.
so he said, who's your doctor? And it's his head guy that headed, but he's like, I know the guy, we just hit it. So I was worried that there was gonna be a problem, like if I just left the other doctor, but they said you can have whatever provider. The other guy was, I don't know, he's a little bit too busy to make, to follow the current doctor. Like he's like not a guy that has a lot of time to give you, to
Oh.
answer all the questions. He's like, kind of a little bit too busy. But this other man, I'm waiting. He wants 60 minutes. That's a lot to be with a doctor, but he wants 60 minutes to get to know me. And his first appointment is December 19th. So I have to wait till December, but it's worth it, I think, because I know that I'll, if a patient in a chronic illness, if they
Yeah.
don't connect with the doctor, and I waited 3.5 years with this other man, and he's so smart, but I just don't feel that connection. And you feel uncomfortable like expressing, and you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I'm looking forward to that. But I've had like these, just kind of like a transplant is like very life-changing in general, like just in terms of the change, but it's also their medications you have to take, immunosuppressants. And it's also like people in your family may not realize that you've gone, it's different for the patient. It's also different for them. But my wife would say, I don't really know you anymore. Like, who are you? And other patients I'm on a page now. You know, it's in Canada called Transplant Life, and at Life Bulb or something. It's Transplant Life, LYFE, and I became like a part of their thing, their platform. And that someone asked the question about the dynamic. Has anything changed for you in the dynamic with your family? And many people are saying the same thing. People just have abandoned them. They don't really even have any follow-up with them. And they sort of, when they say, just move on. You know, my wife would say, just forget about talking about your transplant. Enough of that. Just move on. And that other people are saying the same thing. So it's almost like the lack of maybe education or lack of understanding maybe, or being, and so it's a lot of conflict, a lot of feeling upset, and maybe they're going through a lot too, because someone told me, I can't remember, it was a therapist or someone else said, oh, a therapist I saw long while ago after the transplant, she said, well, you've been through a transformation, but she hasn't, she's still going along the way. You know, you've been through this whole metamorphosis, you know, of a situation, and it's hard for them, you know, it's like, but that person hasn't, they were sort of living their life. Mm-hmm. And for me, maybe this is off the thing of what we were just, I just like talking to you and you understand, because you understand things, but she, it's hard for me with my relationship, and also with my own, I made a pandemic right after I had the transplant, so I've maybe it's like some sort of PTSD also, or something of like, here, I just got off the machine of, and then I finally go, and then I'm quarantining for like 2 years, you know? And it's, yeah, it was very like weird, but I got to write the book. So.
Bless him. Oh my God.
I want you to have the last words. Go ahead. Huh? I want to hear the daily inspo for today.
Just keep swimming. Like, I myself, like, just went through a breakup and everything, and, you know, trying to get used to being alone again and just grounding myself. But if I could tell anybody something one day, it would just be to really focus on your goals and what you want to do in your life. Try not to waste time, get sidetracked, and try not to live in the past. I came across a quote, and it was like, two things keep us unhappy, trying to live in the past, and also to comparing ourselves to others. So I just try to stay focused on what's in front of me. For example, we're on this, so, you know, nothing else right now matters, you know, until we get off of this, and then it's go time. It's focusing on my goals again. So that's all you can do. Just pay attention to what's in front of you and try to appreciate everything and the people and whatever's in your life. So that's what it is today. Just keep swimming.
I never heard that. This is Taneya. I mean, what you're doing now is just like amazing, right? That's what you do, and how you communicate, and how it's like, you do inspire. You're a natural. It's in you like that. So that's like everyone listening could hear it, you know? And I feel like you helped me today, also just letting me kind of express more than maybe I would have said. I mean, also, I've been waiting a long time to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, I mean, in sense of, I mean, today, in the sense of like, you know, we were gonna, you know, talk, and maybe this was a good way of doing it. Would you consider coming back on, and maybe even periodically, every so often? Yeah. Because I really want to. I think you have a lot. I mean, obviously, you have a lot to offer, but I think, you know, I always wanted to see if somebody would be willing to do some regular thing, and maybe it's a topic that we decide, or that you decide, and we could talk about it more in depth about.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on Jay's Real World Podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the platforms. And it's been a really great experience doing this project and having the episodes build up over time. And, you know, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to message. Again, my book is Mysterious Ways, Discovering the Miracles of Life as I Fight for My Own. It's on Amazon. And have a great day, a great night. God bless you all.